Good day, everyone. This is March Twisdale, your producer and host of Focus On. Today, I will be talking with Hillary Immer as we delve into the human resources of our island, our organizational skills, our community commitment to one another, our willingness to step up when the need is great in order to make sure we maintain food, economic, housing, and other necessities during these trying times. You're listening to Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM KVSH. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here.
Reggie Jackson struck out 2,600 times in his career, the most in the history of baseball. But you don't hear about the strikeouts. People remember the home runs. Fall forward. Thomas Edison conducted 1,000 failed experiments. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Because the 1,001st was the light bulb. Fall forward.
All righty. So, Hillary, I am really, really, really glad that we get to have this interview. It is such a perfect show, you know, to have on Focus On here, because this really needs our focus and our attention. Folks, I am talking with Hillary Immer. I'm going to let her describe herself to you in a couple minutes. But this show is going to be about what may be the most important local issue on the island for the month of August, and probably for several months, maybe longer going forward. We are going to be talking about all of the people on this island who have been unemployed and underemployed and otherwise economically impacted by government decree, which I'm not arguing against, but the reality is they don't have any money and they still have bills, and a big one usually is your rent. So we're going to dive into that topic. And first, though, Hillary, if you could take just a brief minute to let people who haven't met you before, which would only be very new people on the island, tell them a little bit about who you are and what you do.
I've been the chair of the Vashon Social Service Network for about, I don't know, about 4 years now. And that is made up of 11 organizations who are the backbone of the social services on this island. And I work really closely with quite a few of them. And I have run some projects that I run through the IFCH, which is the Interfaith Council, to prevent homelessness.
Exactly.
So that's what I do.
All right. Okie doke. We are going to cover a number of topics today, folks, but I want to remind you that if you miss something and you are driving down the road, you know, don't try to write down a note right now while you're driving. Just remember, you can go to voiceofvashon.org and hit the shows tab. Look up Focus On. And if you go there in the bio for this show, there will be some information about how you can reach out, how you can donate, how you can get involved, how you can support. That will all be available for the people who prefer to read rather than listen as well.
We need to talk about the program. I didn't even mention that.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Let's start with that.
Okay, name. Let's put the name out there. Our, the Virus
Rent Fund.
Okay, good. Go ahead real quick.
COVID hit.
Yep.
People started having to stay home. And Jeannie Darterly decided that people were not going to be able to pay their rent. She called Jim Marsh up, who was the executive director of the chamber, and said, what are we going to do about people who can't pay rent? And he said, call Hillary.
Right.
March 15th, pretty much, I started this program. I asked IFCH if we can run programs through them. Of course, they said yes, since they are into preventing homelessness. Mm-hmm. And I started raising money and getting information out to the social service agencies, particularly Vashon Youth and Social Services, all the school counselors, Comunidad Latina Vashon, asking them to send their clients my way who were impacted by the coronavirus and lost
income
from their jobs. And Youth and Family Services has a program that's a Hispanic outreach. And so we found out people who are needing it. They filled out forms. And since starting with April, I have now helped people over the last 5 months pay their rent.
Right. IFCH stands for, as you said, Interfaith Council to Prevent Homelessness. They've been active on the island for a number of years.
Since 2004.
Long? Okay, right. And Emma Amiot, I think, was largely in charge of them for a while.
She started it among the many, many programs that Emma has started. And we desperately
miss Emma.
Miss Emma. A lot.
Okay. But she's healthy, for anyone who doesn't know. She's fine. She's great. She moved to Squim.
Yes.
Okie doke. So IFCH, I want to be really clear. They have, I will call for this interview, the general fund, which is what they had before COVID happened.
Right.
Basically, all the monies that came in were then used, as you said, to prevent homelessness, keep people in safe home environments. And then we realized there was going to be a new wave of people who would be needing that type of help temporarily in a way because of this crisis. So you created the virus rent fund.
Right.
And for people out there who have previously donated to IFCH, all of those monies stay in the general fund. If a person on this island decides they want to help their fellow neighbors with the rent issue during this crisis, they absolutely must, at the point of donation, on their check, write the virus rent fund. So I want to be really clear that your fund is being only funded by people who have intentionality, and it's not drawing away from the general fund.
That's correct. And this fund is only used for people who have actually lost their jobs now because of the coronavirus.
Right.
And so if people have been struggling before with rent, they don't qualify for this program with IFCH, but they do qualify for the general fund money.
Right.
With IFCH.
So I have been comfortable enough, is what I call it, to not actually be out there really paying close attention to the details of what's going on. All I knew in the back of my mind was that my friends who lost their jobs were able to get unemployment, and I just heard about it vaguely. Please, for other people like myself on the island who have a slight sense something's going on, but they don't have the details, can you go ahead and catch us up to speed on what changed in the federal and state laws related to unemployment specifically?
Sure.
Let's start with that.
Okay, so in order to qualify for unemployment before the coronavirus, you had to have worked for someone else, that's W-2 wages, and have worked 680 hours, which is three quarters of a year, basically. A little half a year. It's about a half a year. So if you worked a little more than half time and then you got laid off, you qualify for unemployment.
Got it.
And the beginning of unemployment is $235 a month in our state.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really don't know what the upper part is, but
okay,
there's a top. Mm-hmm. And but before, if you were self-employed,
mm-hmm,
you did not qualify because self-employed people don't pay into unemployment. And if you were a real part-time worker and didn't have the 680 hours, you didn't qualify for unemployment either.
Right.
So the federal government put in the CARES Act. And in that CARES Act, it said that gig workers and self-employed, which are really the same, but people like to differentiate them, mm-hmm, do qualify. Also, if you are a very, very part-time worker, you now qualified. And you got an additional $600 a week from the federal government through,
right,
the regular the state unemployment. And so people were getting a minimum of $835 in our state a week for unemployment. And that really was a breather. And if
So what I found fascinating about that, and because a lot of this you already know, but the pieces that stand out to me might be what the listeners are also surprised by, was that the 235 is Washington state.
Minimum,
that's the lowest level, and the 600 is the lowest level for the federal.
It's the only level.
It's the only level. Okay, all right. So I found it fascinating. I want to go into the small detail that caught my attention, was that it's not that people who are self-employed choose to spare themselves the taxes to go into an unemployment fund. It's that they're literally not even allowed to engage in that program, correct?
The only people that can are people that have W-2s. Self-employed people don't have W-2s.
Right.
So
it's not like they're being cheap and now they want us to help them. That's what I was concerned, is people would see a self-employed person as like trying to skip out on taxes and then, but that's not really what the case.
No, it's never been, because if you're self-employed and then you decide, well, I want to get unemployment for the next 6 months, so I lay myself off and work the system.
But, So that's what it's preventing.
It's probably preventing that. And so, okay, therefore, you can't do that because you never qualify.
But when the government says, we're not going to let you do your job because it's not a good idea and we all need to stay at home and stay safe, you're basically being fired by someone else.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you're being fired, but if you're fired, you don't qualify for unemployment. You would have to be
laid off. All right. Okay. You're being laid off by someone else. Okay. Got it. Okay. Right. Good. Right. All right. So I hope everyone listening right now understands that we are dealing with something that was outside of people's control, and yet the bills remain in front of them.
That's right.
So why don't we segue just a little bit? We'll come back to this for sure. Mm-hmm. Let's segue a little bit into the bills and who it is that's receiving that money when it comes to rent.
All right.
And so, talk about some of those thoughts.
So the first month that this program got started, we had a lot of forms come in. I can't even remember. 27 families sent in their forms for the month for April rent. And that was in a 2-week period of time. Mm-hmm. And
that includes 102 people.
Yes.
Which is so 27 into 102. So you're averaging 4 people per family.
Yeah. Some of them had a lot of people. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then we actually called all the homeowners to see if we can get a discount. Mm-hmm. Because then I knew that our money would last longer. The answer was no. And the answer was no for quite a few reasons. Most of these families actually have mortgages on these houses.
Right.
And so they have to, the money coming in is going out as fast as it's coming in. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that the other people are living on that money. And so we never called again. The first month was probably a good enough sample for me. Mm-hmm. And even though each month there are some different people, some same people. But the money is really important. So it allows people to pay their rent, and then allows the homeowner to pay their mortgage or buy their own groceries.
Right. I have a friend who owns her home outright, but she intentionally created the rental unit as basically like her primary source of income. So when that went away, how is she going to buy food for herself, her family, her animals, you know, or whatever?
Property taxes.
Exactly.
And homeowner's insurance. And
right.
And property taxes on this island are not cheap.
No, they're not.
Yeah. So this program, nobody gets over $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And
we all know a lot of people are paying far more than that.
Totally.
In traditional rent.
Right. And most people are not getting their full rent. So they mm-hmm. still have to come up with some money. Mm-hmm. But it's to help them and have less stress in their life. That is my goal, is for them to have less stress because they'll be a lot healthier. Mm-hmm. And then maybe they can spend their money on something else. For every dollar that goes into this, that means, you know, if they have any other money. And
right.
Unfortunately, people who make a little money are really paycheck to paycheck, and then they have no paychecks.
Right.
And that is a very, very scary situation that people are in.
So now this brings us to unemployment. So let's say you are mom and dad and you have to stay home and you've got 3 kids in the house. You got a dog. Maybe you've got, you know, a garden. You have to pay for the water to keep the plants growing, blah, 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 blah. And so, yeah, you qualify into unemployment, which is great. So you've got in some money in order to try to keep yourself sort of going. But that was for a really limited period of time. And we reached that limit. What was it? 3 days ago?
Yesterday, July 31st was the time that the $600 from the federal government went away. The CARES Act for self-employed people and people that don't have enough hours is good to the end of December. So those people can still collect state unemployment. Mm-hmm. That is in there. And so I have no idea what Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell are doing right now. I know they were talking this morning, but before I came here, I didn't have any definitive answer of it, what's happening with that $600.
So across the entire country at this moment, everyone who has been making it through the crisis as a result of the unemployment largely from the federal government, their income just went away again. That 600
yes.
is gone.
600
temporarily.
Temporarily or permanent.
Unless they renew it.
Yes.
Yeah, temporary
so,
or permanent. We don't know.
We don't know. Well, it'll never be permanent.
Right. Will they renew? And if so, I think you said this morning, one of the people, and I'm not going to give a name, but someone in D.C. was like, well, let's just give them $600 for the next week and keep chatting for a few more days. And it was like, no, you can't do that to the people.
Right.
Okay.
So, and so my concern is that, so the first 2 months, there were about 50% of the people were Hispanic who were collecting this and 50% who are non-Hispanic collecting mm-hmm. this money, this rent help. And then it dropped off immediately because most of the non-Hispanic people are comfortable collecting unemployment. And the others are either not eligible or uncomfortable doing that. Mm-hmm. And so now my percentages for the last 3 months are in the 70%, 75, 73, 78. 78. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just varies from month to month, but who are collecting assistance with their rent. And my fear is that if the $600 goes away.
Right.
First of all, my numbers, this month I helped 30 families, and I'm guessing it's going to be 60 families next month, and I won't have that money.
It will be 60 families specifically if the national government decides to stop providing.
The $600.
Right.
I mean, six times four is $2,400, and that's a major chunk of money that is leaving. And, you know, and the whole thing about the $600.
Well, and that may be, regardless of how much it is, it also might be 100% of your income. Or almost,
well, it is.
Given you have the state, or the state amount still.
Well, yeah, but still.
Yeah, but it's like an 80% drop in income, boom,
right.
And you still can't work.
Right, and you still can't work, and all of that money is getting recirculated into society.
Right.
You know, so here it is, you're paying your rent, and maybe you're paying your utilities, and your cell phone, and what are the other bills you have. Mm-hmm. And then you might even consider buying food, because I've heard food is addictive.
Well, so one of the interesting things that comes up for me is that there are people on this island who have Fannie Mae or Fannie Mac is the basis of their home loan.
Right.
So for me, our mortgage is through it's a mortgage provider, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they work with Fannie Mae or Fannie Mac. So I happen to have one of those loans. So we're currently on a 6-month deferment. We got a 3-month deferment. And I wasn't even going to take it because I felt really uncomfortable with the idea of getting caught 3 months later with this huge bill. And they came out and they said, no, we're clarifying that you'll be allowed to bump it to the end of your loan. And at that point, I'm like, you know what? I don't know what disasters are coming down the pipeline this year. So it's not that we're spending all the money. It's that we're stockpiling it in our savings. We're getting through that 6-month deferment period. And at the end, assuming my husband hasn't also lost his job, assuming that worse things don't happen, then we're going to pay it back as fast as we can. But that money is leaving. So
Right. Mortgage
money goes off island. But when it comes to rent money, some of it might get paid to someone's mortgage, sure. But a lot of it is actually circulated here on the island. Like you were saying, it stays here. Right. We give money to these people. They give it to those people. They go to Thriftway. You know, they go to the gas station. And it stays here. So I see that your program, the Virus Rent Fund, as a sub-program of the IFCH, is really actually an economic boon for the entire island. It's not just helping a couple of people.
No, and we're recirculating the money. And so I want to thank all the donors. So to today, from March 15th to July 31st, $122,211. $122,000 has come in,
mm-hmm.
which is incredible. We have so many generous people. Some people write checks for, you know, four numbers before the decimal point, and some people write checks for $15. And I want you to know I appreciate every penny mm-hmm. that comes in, and it's really very important because we're helping each other. To date, $113,327 went to pay rent and utilities. I started paying a few utilities in here. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting here with $9,000 to start my fund for
September
rent.
Right.
And only $1,000 of that $122,000 came from off island.
Right.
And so I have been writing grants like there's no tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I am not the best grant writer. I have gotten $1,000 from the Small Business Association that was going to give out money to nonprofits because there's special grants mm-hmm. for nonprofits for rent. And
that's it.
And so I got $1,000 from them, folks, and that's not really helpful. I mean, if it comes from a person, it's very helpful. But when it comes from big money with millions and millions and millions of dollars, it's mm-hmm. not as helpful. And
well, we're an island. And it looks like we're basically in the process of stepping up and helping one another. Yeah. And the important key reason why we're doing this interview right now, and the thing that you said is keeping you up at night, making it hard to sleep, is that everyone needs to understand that the political theater going on in D.C. is political theater, and it is hardcore reality affecting theater.
Right. I'm really concerned. I do stay up at night, really. I do. I spend 3 weeks trying to get donations and 1 week processing all the paperwork. So processing the paperwork is less stressful than me trying to find out where the money is coming from. The money, and then it just gets divvied up. And so I can't give as much as I would like to give because of money. And I have to, for my own mental state, have some money left over. So I start each month with some money. I call that my seed money.
Right.
So I don't cry at night.
Right. Well, I mean, this is huge. And the thing is that now, when did the unemployment benefits start to actually go into people's bank accounts?
So,
because they had to go through the whole application process as well.
Right. And I want to point out that Deborah Diamond is the kudu person around on this island. She has been getting, her number was up to 700 people that she's actually helped get unemployment and maneuver the system. And she is an incredible person that I have not met, but I did have one chance to actually talk to her on the phone. So that was exciting for both of us.
Nice.
And and so when people are having problems, they can call Deborah Diamond. And I don't have her phone number, of course.
We'll make sure it gets into the bio on the website.
And so the first week, people were, slow to apply, and you can apply online and everything. And then when the $600 kicked in and they extended it to self-employed people and people who don't work full-time all the time, then it got really inundated, and then the system slowed down.
Right.
So the first 2 months, people didn't get unemployment right away. And then usually when people started getting unemployment, and yes, they told me, because my questionnaire is short but concise, and I still paid some of their rent because I knew they had bills to pay.
Right.
And so just because people are telling me they're making money doesn't mean that I cut them off.
Receiving unemployment benefits.
Right.
I just want to be clear.
Well, and some right now have started going back to work.
Right.
Landscapers are allowed to work right now. Mm-hmm. And they're probably working less than they were before, but at least some people are working.
Yeah.
And so they will get less. It doesn't mean they won't get anything. Because I also have people that are not doing anything.
Right.
And the parents who are staying home with their children, especially if you're a one-parent household.
How do you go to work?
You can't go to work if your children are in elementary school age.
Right.
And so they are really hurting. And, they're going to need the money for a really long time because now school is not happening in person. Mm-hmm. And so this program is going to be needed for a very long time.
Well, that's an interesting one. In the past, people oftentimes, school was an option. And so your parenting decisions included the fact that you had a 40-hour-a-week childcare system called school, that's being removed, and there is no replacement for that. So I feel like it's really time this month, as we come out of what people predict to have your kids home during the summer months, it's time for the adults on the island to start cracking their heads a little bit open and thinking outside the box and saying, how can we be inclusive to the youth of the island and actually embed them into our society? Because usually they go off into sort of this alternative world. They're sort of shelved at school.
Well, and
that's
also
not there anymore.
Well, and also in the summertime, we have all these camps.
Exactly.
Right. And the only camp that I know of that's full time is Vashon Kids.
Yeah.
And that is going. So it's, so the parents could not work. Some parents could not work even if they had opportunities to work in the summer if their children are below 12 years old or whatever people feel is comfortable to leave.
Well, and this is by law. Actually, I think there are legal regulations around how old your child has to be left unsupervised at home.
Well, this must be a new law because I was left home alone when I was seven.
Well, I don't think people cared back then. So the takeaway so far, and we're just about the halfway point on the interview, I think by now, people who are listening, hopefully you have actually been enjoying our dulcet tones and are not turning the dial in a fit of depression or despair, because the reality is what we're looking at here is that Vashon's doing what Vashon does, and that is coming together and working together and facing the problem and solving it. But we're in this for the long haul. This is a marathon, not a sprint. And I think that what I think of when I look at August is I think of a month where, unless things are handled well in DC, we're going to have a very, very big fat zero when it comes to income, compared to a subsidized income that still left people in need of some extra help from their neighbors. That's so right. If August is a bad month and September is a bad month because the federal government backs away, then the need will go up. So what is it exactly that people can do? And for folks who are just tuning in, my name is March Twisdale. This is Focus On. I am talking to Hillary Immer. You're listening to 101.9 FM, KVSH, Voice of Vashon. And essentially, the Vashon Interfaith Council to Prevent Homelessness has a new fund called the Virus Rent Fund that Hillary has been the person making this happen since in April. And what we're dealing with is that unemployment benefits are highly at risk right now and may not be renewed at the federal level, at least. And we have a lot of people who ran through all their extra savings. Yeah. Maybe they've now maxed out some of the credit cards, or, you know, if anything, we have a perfect storm. It's been 5 months of struggle. People still can't go back to work. And now we might be losing some government benefits.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just got a form filled out. Didn't qualify for the August rent because it was after the checks were written, and checks are only written once a month. It's not as you come in. So,
right.
And this person was making $4,000 to $6,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
and for whatever reason has not been able to get unemployment. Has mm-hmm. been working with Deborah, and so they're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has had no money from the last 4 months,
mm-hmm.
And he's asking for help. And so I see on these forms people of all economic stratas who have never asked for help before,
mm-hmm.
and who are scared now, and unfortunately uncomfortable about asking. And that's
right.
The unfortunate part.
Right.
We have many services on this island that are deserving services for every single person on this island.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a good segue into food right now.
Yeah,
okay.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. It's a great one.
One of the things I do also, interesting enough, is I drive once a week to help deliver food for 2 hours during
mm-hmm.
that time. And I go through different areas. You just show up and they give you the bags and then they give
mm-hmm.
you the list. So you never know where you're going.
Got it.
And I hear from people, because even on my form to fill out is, are you going to the food bank? They deliver and
right.
go to the food bank.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, people are more deserving. That's the line I hear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true. We are all deserving. We are all the same. And the food is there for you. And my rent help is there for whoever needs it.
Mm-hmm.
And the food is there for anyone who needs it or wants to supplement some food that they have. And they have a great selection as delivering.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I'm going to keep this bag. Look at all this fresh produce.
Right.
They have meat in there. They have cheese in there. They have gluten-free. They have vegetarian. They have vegan.
Our food bank is really amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. So
yeah.
A little plug for the food bank.
Yeah.
Last month, they gave 130 families, picked up their food on Wednesdays from, you can pick up food Wednesdays 10
right.
to 2 or from 4 to 7 on Wednesdays.
And it's all COVID safe because when you get here, you just hang out in your car. They give you a form on a clipboard. You fill it out. You give it to them. Someone inside with a mask on, gloves and everything,
right.
packs your bags for you and they bring them out.
That's right.
So you don't have to just sit around. You can actually, because you get a number. So you can get a number and they'll be like, oh, that number's probably like, you know, an hour out. And you're like, great, I'm going to go run some errands or take a walk or whatever. So that the food bank here is so well organized.
Right. And then there are 150 families that get home delivery.
Right. And, that's on Thursdays.
That's on Thursdays.
Right.
And then you can call 463-6332. That's 206. Mm-hmm. And they will then give you a form and you fill out your form and then it gets processed and then it gets delivered right to your front door. I knock on the door, yell food bank, mm-hmm. and leave your bags right by your door in the shade if I can find shade.
Right.
So please have some shade near your door.
Right.
The senior center. Oh, wait. Okay. The food bank is also delivering lunches. So the food bank in they're making lunch. They had picnics in the park, which obviously is
in
not
in the past. That's
in
what
the
they
past. And they're still calling it picnics. Well, now they're calling it
picnics
to
go. Right.
And so people can pick up. They are serving 300 lunches daily, Monday through Friday daily.
Wait, it says Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
No, there's a different thing.
Got it. Okay, good.
All right. Lunches daily, and that's for anybody who wants. Picnics in the park used to be for children 18 and under. This is for people 120 and under. If you're 121,
like
you can't do it.
No.
Can't get any food.
No.
They're just like that.
I don't know. But you probably can't chew it at that point. So,
you can either pick it up at this high school from 9:30 to 1:30, and that is Monday through Friday, or they have mobile deliveries at 12 different locations, and a yellow school bus will drive around, and they are driving all over the island from as far as Tahlequah to the North End Ferry, mm-hmm. and on Maury Island, and every place, not every place, but 12 places in between.
Right.
And those are... and the delivery location, they start delivery at 9:30, and they finish it at 1 o'clock.
Right.
And
you get a specific time, like a person who lives near Burton's store and they want to get their food and pick it up at Burton's store. The Burton's store is 11:35 to 11:45. So you get there at 11:25, chat with people from afar, get your food, go home. It's all good.
And so these are lunches. They're bagged for you and you could be anybody under 120, however. And, and then you get your lunch.
Right.
Those are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So that's the 3 days.
And that's the collaboration of the Vashon Food Bank and the Vashon Island School District, because I think the school district is allowing them to use the kitchen space.
Correct. Right. But the food bank is paying for everything. So we'll get into paying later. And then if people have gardens and they want to drop them off.
Good. I was going to ask that today. Okay, great.
I got...
Yes.
You told me all the questions and I did all my research.
Okay.
All right. And... so people who have gardens can drop off their produce Monday and Tuesday at the food bank. And that is so that they can actually know what people what they have so people can order that.
Is there an hour of day that they prefer Monday, Tuesday, a preference on delivery?
They work from 9 to 5. So anytime
on Monday or Tuesday, come up here with your fresh picked produce and hand it off.
Yes.
In a grocery bag is probably preferred.
Yeah, well,
like a nice paper with handles or something.
Yes. And then and they also have a little shed by the door. Mm-hmm. And if no one's there, you can put the food in the shed.
Okay.
And you can do that. And then just so you know, I am then I'll talk about.
I'm so glad they're doing that. That's wonderful.
So, and that's 300 served a day lunches.
Right.
Then IFCH. IFCH used to have meals 7 days a week, and they were done by volunteers.
Right.
Since COVID hit, they can't do volunteers. People don't want to be close together while they're cooking non-household people. Mm-hmm. And
so quick question, cannot or choose not to? I'm just trying to figure out what option might be available for a volunteer who did want to provide food.
I think it started out that people did not want to do that at the beginning. Now all the meals are only at the Methodist Church.
Right.
And
Six nights a week.
When at 5:30. 5:30. It's taking leave.
But what day do they not provide a meal?
Sunday.
Got it.
Okay. So it's Monday. It's Saturday through Friday. It's Monday through Saturday. It's however you want to work that.
Got it.
And Those, they've been serving between 20 and 30 meals each night. Mm-hmm. The downside is the Methodist Church just recently, just last week, decided they don't want cooking in there anymore. So now, unfortunately, they're sandwiches, but you get fruit and you get a meal, but it's not a hot meal. So I am sorry about that, but it was beyond our feel. But the problem with this, or the non-problem, is that now IFCH is paying for all the food, as right. opposed to we had 600 volunteers for different nights of the week
right.
each month, and now buying food for six nights a week is expensive. And while we always paid for a coordinator, now the coordinator has to go grocery shopping, buy the food, make the food, and then, well, cleanup was more when you were actually cooking. Mm-hmm. Now cleanup is a couple of knives and something.
Yeah.
So cleanup is not too much. But
the big difference, because my mom used to do this, and I remember when she lived here, and she, I think it was the Lutheran church was the one that she was going to for a while. So she was one of those 600 volunteers. And the whole point was that those people actually volunteered not just to show up, set up the space, serve the food, clean up, but they also made the food in their own homes and brought it. Right. And so IFCH organized that, but wasn't actually funding it. So you were saying when we had our chat the other day that it's sort of like IFCH is hemorrhaging, in a way, a lot of funding in order to keep these meals going because all the volunteer food
is not happening. Right.
So that's my question is, I think I mentioned that in my email. I was like, what if you had 10 families and they're all supposed to make a dish and it all gets picked up and taken to the meal? Is that even something that we can look to doing in the future? Or are we stuck with the current model for a while
longer? I think
we're
kind of stuck in the sense that right now, of course, even when the hot meals were done, you had to pay extra because people get it for free. I don't mean they pay extra.
Right.
But before they were on plates.
Right.
And then you wash the plates.
Yeah.
Now everything is in a to-go box and you get new plasticware.
Every night.
You get new bags and you get napkins. And so the paper intense is, it's a takeout system. And so that is a major expense also, just because you're doing it often. And and then the senior center is delivering lunches, 80 lunches Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Mm-hmm. They're delivering. This is for anyone 55 and older and not past 121 either.
Okay.
I'm sticking with that number.
55 to 120.
I'm just sticking with that.
Yeah.
And the cost of those meals are $5. However, anybody can get the meal. It is delivered. And if you choose not to pay for whatever reason, that is totally fine.
Right.
And we have
people. $5 suggested.
Yes.
Fee.
Right.
Right.
And nobody is turned away at all.
And those are delivered to your door.
Those are delivered to your door hot. And so I delivered once, except I won't say why I got not to ask again. And and so those, each car has a huge hot bag.
Right.
So the food is remained in a hot bag while it's in the car, and then and they take it out right then and there and hand deliver it to the people. And they always call at first, call before, so because people need to be there.
Well, and the other thing that I think you mentioned, which is it's important for everyone, but the senior citizen demographic, maybe it's slightly more risk sometimes of isolation.
Yes.
Or, you know, if you're 80, there is a percentage of the people in your life who you've known and loved who have passed on to the next life. And there may be a percentage of people who have grown up and gone elsewhere. So there's that touch point, you know, it's not just the food. It's also someone, you know,
checks in on you.
Yeah, they say
says
hello.
Hi, how you doing? If they happen to notice that you're in the same bathroom Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, they will do a wellness check on
right.
you. Because that's there. No, I mean, I'm a senior and I live alone.
Mm-hmm.
And isolation is a problem. And I'm out and about. And it's still
right.
a problem because I still go home to an empty house. So
right.
So a lot of the seniors, the meals are important. And one more plug here while I'm plugging.
Yes.
Bernie O'Malley and Jacqueline O'Malley have a produce stand right
yes,
here.
Yes, they do.
Yes. And so on Saturday, which is probably already passed now.
Yep.
They close at 3 or 3:30. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. And so a half hour before closing, the food bank picks up stuff.
Mm.
And the senior center, Karen Biondo goes over and picks up food for the senior center meals, mm-hmm. because Karen Biondo cooks on the senior center. And then the meals program from IFCH, they also pick up food. So
nice.
The food that does not get sold is actually donated
right.
to IFCH, the senior center, and the food bank from very generous donation from Jackie and
right.
Bernie O'Malley. So there it is.
Well,
those are my plugs.
That is, I mean, I really enjoyed our chat the other day. It was so not surprising and reassuring to witness, you know, what our island does very well, which is organizing and trying to take care of one another.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by the level of generosity. And however, all of these things, they are all the result of funding. And so we need to keep in mind, it's funny, the other day I thought to myself, okay, for the people who already worked from home, who kept their jobs, and who have, you know, anyone who's not in dire straits and has dodged that bullet, on one hand, it's like, oh, well, we don't get to have Strawberry Festival this year, and we don't get to go to the theater, and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Going to the theater with a family of four is like a $70 event. And Strawberry Festival, people always pad their wallets and say, okay, I got my money to go spend at Strawberry Festival. Well, if we don't have those recreational money expenditure opportunities, it means we can either get further out of debt, yay for us, or we have an opportunity to say, I'm going to increase the money that I'm donating to my local organizations. One of the things that I'd like you to talk a little bit about is just how much we really are reliant on ourselves. Help people understand again that Vashon Island is sort of lives in a little, what would you call it? Like a shadow, it's like a rain shadow, but it's like a funding shadow.
Of King County.
Of King County. Let's get into that, because I need people to understand that we really are at a disadvantage compared to West Seattle or Burien or other places. And we need to be more self-reliant.
So here's a perfect example. King County gave, I don't remember the millions of dollars, but they set aside millions of dollars for money to go to rent,
mm-hmm.
You know, for helping people pay their rent.
Right.
And so the first bunch went to United Way.
Right.
And so they paid United Way to manage the money. And so United Way took off the top,
mm-hmm.
and then United Way gave them to the partners that they had worked with previously.
Right.
Not one Vashon agency got money from United Way.
Mm-hmm.
Then some money got sent to Seattle Foundation, mm-hmm. and then that got commingled with private donations.
Mm-hmm.
Four agencies applied for that money on this island. It was IFCH, Youth and Family Services, VIGA, which is Vashon Island Growers Association,
right?
Which gives out farm bucks, and I also mm-hmm. give out farm bucks.
Cool.
Yes. And Comunidad Latina Vashon.
Right.
And the only organization that got money was Comunidad Latina Vashon, because they met their demographics of who is on their board
mm-hmm.
and who works.
Mm-hmm.
So the three non-funding agencies actually asked for an interview, and we had a Zoom meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told that our board was not racially mixed enough for them, even
right.
though I can demonstrate for us that over 50%...
The recipients
are over 50% of our recipients are getting the money. Vashon, IFCH has no paid staff.
Mm-hmm.
And so every penny that comes in as a donation goes out as a donation. I do their taxes, and last year they spent $250 in office supplies.
In the entire year. Right.
Which, so not every penny goes out directly,
yeah.
but that's pretty close to every penny
going out directly.
You know, there's stamps and envelopes and stuff like that that people have to buy occasionally.
So, in other words, the caliber and the quality of the organizations can be really phenomenal, stellar, and still we're in a funding shadow.
Yes, we're in the funding shadow. And then if you look at it, if you compare us to the other unincorporated, and this money was meant for only unincorporated areas.
Oh, so we weren't even competing against the incorporated areas.
No, but we were competing against White Center.
Right.
Okay, so if you compete against White Center versus Vashon, it looks like we have no need. And they refuse to take into consideration that we have need. And I have written letters and actually talked to people in my normal language, which can't be said on this radio, that and all the people expect me to say that because we've worked together before, was that the fair part would be is to take all the unincorporated area, take the population, and give us, Vashon, the percentage of people. And we give out a lot of money because a lot of our properties are way over $1 million in property taxes. And I don't expect all of it back, because, but I expect some of it back.
Right.
And I think that we need to really push to start getting some money from King County.
Right. So in other words, the people who are in control of where the taxes that are gathered up by King County, and then the people who are distributing that in general, you know, we're in a funding shadow because there is a impression that because we have a percentage of our population that's very economically comfortable, there's an impression that everyone on the island must be comfortable. And yet we also have, we have a percentage of our population that has a hard time coming up with that $55,000 a year minimum that you need to be able to live on the island because we're so expensive. What? So we just simply have need, but it doesn't look that way on paper to the government. So, and that's why we have to take care of our own.
And so 22% of our students at the school in last year were on free and reduced lunch.
Right.
White Center has 80%.
Yeah.
I mean, so I am not saying that White Center does not have a need.
Right.
Obviously, they do.
Yeah.
I just want our 22%
to also get some help.
To get help.
Yeah.
That's what I really want.
Yeah.
You know, I want to spread it evenly along the need line. And not to say that we have no need is not accurate. So
we have to do it ourselves for now until we solve the King County issue, which isn't going to happen in 2020.
Right. Now, I will say that since we're talking about King County, I should. So I wrote letters to Joe McDermott because Joe and I have worked together for many, many years. And I explained our situation. And I said, I need money and I need it now. And they were very impressed with what was happening and said, yes, you should get some money. And we'll tell you when the next funding round is. So I shot off another letter that was not as polite. And so Joe went to the city, the county council, and they voted to, we got in the budget of $5,000. I have not seen that money, but it has been promised.
Nice.
So, yes. So I'm hoping that it will be there for September rent.
Right.
But
September rent, assuming that DC decides to go ahead and keep. See, here's the thing. Okay, I've actually thought this four times so far in this interview, but I haven't yet said it. And that is that what I am surprised by, and I'm really glad you're here because you can explain it in more detail. There's the idea of the phases, phase one, two, three, four. And I think five means supposedly opinions about what we should do are normalized.
Right.
So phase five doesn't mean that COVID-19 is gone. It doesn't mean the pandemic's over. It just means that restrictions by government decree have been completely released, relaxed. They're gone. Well, we're in stage two right now. We're very far away from stage five. It seems to me that you continue your benefits up until you reach stage five, and then you release the benefits. And it looks like we're, at least at the federal level, they're like, we're going to stop helping, even though you're not even halfway back to normal.
Well, okay, so
I'm concerned about that.
All right, so here's how unemployment works, because you're kind of talking about unemployment. Unemployment, normal unemployment, you can get it for 26 weeks, which is half a year. The CARES Act said we'll increase it to 39 weeks. They gave you an extra 13 weeks. So that's three quarters of a year, and that is extended to December 31st. So now everyone in the United States qualifies for 39 weeks of unemployment. If the $600 goes away, the rest of the CARES Act is in force. So,
yes.
So unemployment, self-employed people still qualify, and people that have not had full employment, still qualify.
Sure, but that's if the 600 is gone, what are you qualifying for?
So even if stage four or stage three or stage two go a year, mm-hmm. at this moment, there is no guarantee you would get unemployment, even if the $600 remains, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so what you're saying is that this started, it can take longer to get to stage five than even the maximum unemployment we could hope for was fulfilled.
Correct. As it stands today.
Right. In other words, there's going to be a gap.
Yes.
Well, and we hit some of that gap right now unless they very quickly renew
things. If they renew it, it will be probably, I'm guessing, will be retroactive.
But does that mean everyone's going to have to do paperwork again?
No. No, no. You have to fill out your unemployment form every week. And you go online and you say, right now you don't have to look for work because there's no work.
Okay.
But normally you have to say, I went to three jobs, and I called A, B, and C. And you don't have to do that now.
Right. Well, so let's talk real quick because we're going to run out of time. Let's talk a little bit about the job idea. So there was that idea floated, which was, oh, people make so much money on unemployment that even when their job says, hey, we're ready to have you back, they're going to say, I don't want it. I'll stay on unemployment. Now, that has been disproven by a recent Harvard study, which has demonstrated that the people who were forced into unemployment by the pandemic are like rushing back to their jobs as fast as they can. So, however, it's not just the individual's choice. As you made the point of, and used the example of several different like restaurants on the island, that if maybe, let's say, an imaginary restaurant had 20 employees before COVID and they dropped down to having two employees, right. Now they're up to three or four. But even if we get to phase five, it's not like they're going to bump back up to 20 right away.
You can't eat inside the restaurant, or you can only have 25% of the people in the restaurant.
Right.
So, right, there aren't the jobs. And the other thing is, what people don't realize is that this money coming in mm-hmm. is going out as fast.
Right.
And if this money doesn't come in, the entire economy will collapse.
Right.
Because the people have been buying mm-hmm. or spending this money, whether it's only on rent for the lower, the people who make less money mm-hmm. versus the people who are comfortable. And even if I had $100,000 in the bank, I'm not employed, I still qualify for unemployment. Mm-hmm. It's not based on what you have in the bank.
Right.
And so therefore, I'm still spending my money. And you can see by how many UPS trucks are coming around
right.
here. So the UPS trucks are filled with people who have spent money. That's mm-hmm. what the UPS is all about.
Right.
And so therefore, it is keeping the economy strong. We're not strong.
Let's not call it strong. Let's say the heart's still beating.
Yes, okay.
The blood is still flowing.
Right.
What we don't want is to stop the blood moving.
Yes, and so I'll agree with that. Yes.
Okay, so in the last few minutes we have, basically, this is a reminder and a call out and an invitation to every single person who lives on the island to recognize that they have a valuable role to play. And whether it is stepping up and supporting families with children who are not going back to school in the fall, how can you incorporate those kids into your life? How can you connect with people and become a support? Whether it is writing a check to IFCH and putting virus rent fund or general fund into the memo section. But the virus rent fund is the only way that you can specifically help this new category of people who have been forced out of work by government decree, and they suddenly have serious need of help. What do you want to say to people about how they can reach out to you and
support
them?
Online, you can go to www.ifchvashon.org/donate-2.
It'll be on the website too, folks.
Or you can write a check and to IFCH, Interfaith Council to Prevent Homelessness, P.O. Box 330 Vashon, Washington 98070.
Right. And if you want it to go to IFCH General Fund, you can leave it alone. And if you want it to specifically go to pay the rent for people who have been
unemployed because of COVID.
There you go. You put in virus rent in the memo section of the check.
Right.
Or include a letter explaining your intentions. Just make it very, very, very clear.
Right. Thank you.
And thanks to all the people who've already stepped up. We just need to keep doing it.
Yes, and I know there's donor fatigue, but I really want to thank everyone who has donated.
Yeah.
And it's been really wonderful. I mean, I would never expected this much money to come in, and But it's going out almost as fast as it's coming in.
Right. And it's all going to beautiful places mm-hmm. where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Great interview.
Thank you. Thank you.
And folks, I want to thank you for listening to Focus On here on Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSH. My name is March Twisdale. I am your producer and host of this show, as well as Prose, Poetry, and Purpose. You can also go to marchtwisdale.com and catch all of my shows there as a podcast, or go to voiceofvashon.org, check the shows tab, and go to Focus On or Prose, Poetry, and Purpose, basically to get inspiration and really cool information. One more thing, Hillary.
People who want rent help, I blew this.
Oh, yeah.
they can actually call me, mm-hmm. 206-463-7277, or email me, HILONVASHON, @yahoo.com. It's HilonVashon@yahoo.com, 1L. And I will get you a form to fill out, or I will fill out the form on the phone. Thank you.
All right, folks. Hang in there. We can do this together. And I'll see you next month.
Reggie Jackson struck out 2,600 times in his career, the most in the history of baseball. But you don't hear about the strikeouts. People remember the home runs. Fall forward. Thomas Edison conducted 1,000 failed experiments. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Because the 1,001st was the light bulb. Fall forward.